New.
This is the Relevant Podcast.
It's episode 1061. Holy cow. And it's the Relevant Podcast here in Orlando. I'm your host, Cameron Strang. And joining me from Loverland, Virginia, it's Jesse Carey.
Hello, hello.
From Austin. No, wait, she's not in Austin. Where are you today, hey, Jamie?
I'm in Lubbock, Texas.
In Lubbock, Texas. Author, speaker, podcaster, world traveler, Jamie Ivey.
Ooh. Hey, guys.
And from Nashville, Tennessee, our very own downtown Emily Brown.
Hey, y'all.
Derek is out on his world tour listening party thing that he's doing. I'm going to see him this weekend. He's going to be driving from West Palm Beach to Jacksonville, which doesn't go through Orlando, but we're going to intercept each other. I'm going to be able to hang out with him. So that's cool.
Nice.
But yeah, maybe we'll meet at the Buc-ee's over there. I'm drinking out of a Buc-ee's mug and they're making fun of me. It's a hot pink little tiny Buc-ee's mug.
The hot pink part is not the issue. It's the fact that when you hold it, it looks like you're holding my 2-year-old niece's teacup set.
It's a little tiny Buc-ee's mug. I don't know why I bought it this size. They had bigger ones. I don't know why I got a little 10 ouncer. But
the other thing too is you're presuming that we all just know what Buc-ee's is.
Hey, listen, if you've road tripped anywhere from Texas East, you know what Buc-ee's is. It's a huge travel stop, gas station / Walmart / restaurant thing. It's from Texas.
You can get anything.
It's the most magical place on earth.
Yeah.
So the real most magical place on earth.
Yeah, it's true. It's pretty great. And once you've discovered a Buc-ee's, anytime, that's now where you're stopping the entire road trip is like you're going to find the next Buc-ee's. It's fantastic. The world's best bathrooms. No joke. Incredible.
That is true.
Famous for them.
It's like a private suite to go to the bathroom in.
Well, that's the thing. Flyover country, like truck stops, are fascinating places to me because I'm not aware of all the rules, but there clearly is some sort of rules and hierarchies, you know, because there's always like five truckers just kind of wandering around with like a barbecue sandwich in their hand. And they also have like shower stalls.
The showers kind of gross me out and creep me out a little bit.
And like a weird electronic section of this truck stop.
Yeah.
Like, because they got to entertain themselves. They got to entertain themselves. They're stuck in the truck all day. They need to buy a little TV.
Jesse, you would love Buc-ee's because you can also buy furniture. You can buy clothing.
Grill. You
can
get a new grill.
A grill.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
As well as a barbecue sandwich.
Yes.
So as it well really as has everything.
Caramel popcorn. Yeah,
yes.
It's everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fudge.
Yeah. And a swimsuit. You could get a swimsuit.
Various jerkied meats, I assume.
Yes, like, you could get a sign for your house that says, "In this house, we will obey the Lord."
Yeah. All the live, laugh, love stuff is a whole section over there. They basically have a Home Goods on one side. Across from the Home Goods is the Yellowstone merch section, you know, because they love the Dutton Family Ranch at the Buc-ee's. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? That's a big deal
like
in that world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but what you're describing is essentially like a physical Sky Mall almost. Like where all the like sort of sundry,
a redneck Sky Mall.
Yeah,
it's
highway
mall?
Sky Mall. Well, no, because Sky.
Wait, it's not Sky Mall. It's Road Mall.
You're talking about a land Sky Mall. That's just a mall.
Fair point. But Sky Mall specialized in like novelty shirts. Like they were more like Lord of the Rings memorabilia, and it's sounding like we're more talking Yellowstone memorabilia.
Yeah.
At these, but like odd electronics, I'm sure you could buy like a hoverboard at one of these Buc-ee's for some reason. Like if you're just on the road and just like, I've been meaning to pick one of these.
Yeah.
Up. You know, I don't have to venture into town. I can just get this and then get a bucket of fried chicken.
It's like an upscale flea market, you know, where you just walk around going, I never knew I needed this. Look at this. I need this today. And you're like, I didn't know I was going to buy this thing for my house and this whole set of napkins to take with me on this vacation that I might need. You know, it's just like, I didn't know I needed
it. Dishware.
Yes.
Okay. Here's the other, since we're on the topic of whatever it is we are talking about.
Buc-ee's.
Right now,
yeah.
You guys ever go by stop over at like a rest stop? Okay. Like I'm talking side of the highway. They have a pull in, pull out bathroom vending machine type of situation. You know, those angled parking, you know, spaces. You ever pass by, go into some, and they have like a built-in-the-ground barbecue grill, or like a charcoal grill that you can like buy a picnic table.
Yeah.
Who on their road trip okay, is pulling into one of these truck stops. It's literally designed for you to use the restroom as quickly as possible and leave, yeah. right? Maybe mm-hmm. they have like a visitor center with some brochures if it's right over a state line. But I mean, even the way that the parking spots are angled are designed to get you in and out. Who's pulling over and has all the fix-ins for a barbecue, including charcoal and like lighter fluid? And like, all right, guys, we were just going to let you guys run out and hit the vending machines, use the restroom, but we're going to do a full-on barbecue right here on the side of the interstate. Who is using those grills?
I feel like this seems like a 1982 family road trip, and yeah. the mom's packing sandwiches and mayonnaise, and the dad's like, uh-huh. how about on the second road stop, I grill us some sausage on the way.
But what you're assuming is on this road trip, he has packed a cooler that will keep meats preserved for hours and hours and hours. Mm-hmm. And then at some point, yeah. instead of like going to like a state park or something to enjoy dinner, they are pulling off at a roadside rest stop, mm-hmm. just on a random strip of interstate. And he is unpacking the grill and they're just doing the barbecue right there. It just... I don't know. There's something about those that have always just bothered me a little.
It's kind of weird. Yeah, it's kind of weird.
Bucky's was smart because they put Tesla chargers at all the Bucky's. So basically, that's where we would always stop for our road trip, is at the charger. You leave it for 15 minutes and you go in and avail yourself of all the Bucky's luxuries. It was quite nice. It made it a very good road trip. Go Bucky's. Like, go buy stuff. We were about to leave and I had bought some snacks and stuff, and Cohen was like, I need a cup. And I was like, oh, here's some money. Go run in and buy yourself a cup. And he comes back out with a set of Bucky's wine goblets. So I have a set of wine goblets in my house with this beaver face on him.
Wow.
I was like, why'd you buy wine glasses? He's like, they were the only glasses I saw, or cups I saw. It's like, okay, buddy, well, these are for wine. And if we get pulled over, they're not going to think that's Diet Sprite in the wine goblet, buddy. Like, you know,
for some reason, drinking wine out of a Bucky's wine glass seems like even a step below drinking wine out of like a Dixie cup. Like, it is life has hit rock bottom.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. what was, if someone's like, what was your rock bottom moment? I was one night, I was having boxed wine out of Bucky's wine glasses
on the side of a road at a rest stop.
Yeah. My dad was grilling.
Yeah. Rock bottom.
Oh, where was he grilling? Just right off I-35.
You know, the rest stop about mile 42 over the state line? Right there. Yeah. I mean, it's very close proximity to the bathrooms that hundreds of people are using an hour. But, you know, it's open air. So quick in and out barbecue.
Cameron, when you went to Bucky's, or at the any times you've gone to Bucky's, have you taken a picture with the like 6 foot tall beavers, or Bucky's beaver?
Not me, but there I do have a picture of Cohen with the Bucky beaver. It's like a tourist destination.
Yeah, it's such a tourist destination. Yes.
Yeah. Jesse, outside of every Bucky's, there's this like, I think it's supposed to be golden, honestly, but it's kind of rusted over time. But there's just this massive statue of Bucky's the beaver, and it's like taller than me, and I'm 5'8", so it's pretty tall.
Yeah.
Kind of terrifying. It's buck teeth.
I wonder how often those get stolen. Like, I feel like that'd be a pretty hot item. Like, if I was in college and in a region that Bucky's was prominent, I guarantee you that would have been the trophy of trophies, to have a Bucky beaver in the dorms.
The massive Bucky beaver.
Yeah.
Well, we have a great show in store for you today. Coming up later, we talk to Josh Holiday from Elevation Rhythm, the next gen group from Elevation Worship. Don't want to miss that. We also have your feedback at the end of the show. And stay tuned. Right now, up next, it's Relevant Buzz. Listening to Gus Dapperton. The song is Horizons.
The wait is officially over. Ann Wilson's newest album, Rebel, is out now. Following up on her Grammy-nominated debut album, My Jesus, her sophomore project is jam-packed with 16 songs and features guest artists including Chris Tomlin, Lainey Wilson, and Jordan Davis. Blending her love for God with her roots in all things country, Ann is a true rebel in modern music. Be sure to check out Ann Wilson's newest album, Rebel, available now everywhere you listen to music.
Okay, it's time for
Relevant Buzz.
All right, Emily, tell us what's happening at the intersection of faith and culture this week.
Okay, the first thing I want to talk about is this very exciting news. A church in Vancouver is launching the very first mission trip into the metaverse.
What?
I love it. I love how just like the air just dropped. Like we're all just like, what? Yeah. That's amazing. Yeah. The metaverse. You can sign up. You can sign up and go on a mission trip to the metaverse, kids.
Okay. We need to hear so much more about this.
Yeah. So River City Church, which is based in Vancouver, announced that they will embark on the first ever mission trip to the metaverse. They just see this technology as a way for the church to, quote, step into a new frontier. And so they have announced that they will be leading a mission trip this August. In order to go, you'll need to watch some pre-recorded on-demand missions training videos. And then you just commit to spending 5 to 10 hours a week in the metaverse being, quote, intentional in spreading the gospel. So you just go, like, you have your avatar, you have your VR headset on, you go out into the metaverse and evangelize.
Hey, Emily, how much does this mission trip cost?
Oh, yes. So it is $500. However, if you already
what are you paying for?
If you already have a VR headset, it's only $150.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Again, I still don't know what the $150 goes to. The like paying for the VR headset, I'm with you on. Then the additional $150. A bit vague, but
the youth pastor has to make a living somehow, Emily.
Wow.
Okay. I have a lot of questions here.
Good.
Like, well, first off, the metaverse is still a thing. Like, no, I thought they pulled the plug on that. I wasn't
Everybody
even aware.
The plug on
I got to be honest. I wasn't aware it formally launched at any point. Like, dude. I saw the videos and I knew, like, you know, it was like Zuckerberg was touting it as the future, but I was like, this is already up. Like people are already metaversing. And then all of a sudden it's like, nah, the metaverse didn't really work. So one is just the surprise that there are people in the metaverse to evangelize, but isn't the other thing with missions work is that you're reaching people who are unreached, not just people who are on a random tech platform. Like, isn't that kind of the idea of missions?
Well, I mean, they take mission trips to New York City on spring break and different places too. Yeah. I mean, so it's just intercepting. It's just we want to annoy people wherever they are is the thing. Is we just want to walk up to you and evangelize you whether you want it or not.
Are they going to do like human video skits in the metaverse?
That's what I'm wondering. I want to see the little wee emoji looking Jesus figure getting crucified and then the fight of good and evil. And
gosh.
Let's do some human videos in the metaverse. But to your point, Jesse, and it's just like the church is like 3 years too late. Like it's just like who thought this was a good idea? You know, this is like this isn't a thing.
So are they saying, Emily, is it more kind of like they're kind of coming from it with like, okay, we already know our kids are, you know, here doing things on the internet like that. So let's just equip them to do things better. Is this what's happening?
Well, kids doing things on the internet, you know, maybe that's why they need Jesus. You know what I'm saying?
I think it's just someone probably on staff is really hoping the metaverse takes off. And so they're just like, if we get mission trips going, more people will want to join it. I think they probably have like a personal vested interest in the metaverse being successful.
Oh, see,
that's
you
my
think
theory.
Somebody, okay. Oh, there's some tech entrepreneurs that go to that church and they're like, we need to boost the user data of our, okay, I got you.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what my reaction would be if I was in the metaverse with my Oculus on, wandering around, minding my own business, which I, again, not clear what you even do in the metaverse. You know what I mean? The value proposition, all I know is you could have like very elaborate conference calls. Like that was seemed to be the pitch from Zuckerberg. Is like, oh, cool, I can see a little, you know, footless avatar of you while instead of just looking at you on a Zoom screen like a normal human. But like, if I'm in a conference call and there's someone just wandering by asking me about my relationship with Jesus, even though I obviously support that cause, I might be, can't you see we're having a business meeting here? This is the metaverse. This is what we do. Who invited you? How did you even get here? How did you find us?
It would also be so easy to just like drop that conversation. Cause you know, like when you're out on a mission trip, like, this sounds bad to say, but you can kind of corner someone into having a conversation about Jesus. If someone tries to corner me having a conversation about Jesus, I'm just taking the headset off and we're calling it a night. Like, it's very easy to just drop the call in the metaverse, I feel.
Well, okay, so let's take off our cynical hat, which is completely justified, and think about the fact that, you know, their heart and their thought process is there's probably a lot of lonely people who are having to do VR for human connection and they're hurting. And so why don't we be in that space where they are? And if we can organically talk to them about Jesus and stuff like that, it could impact their actual life. That, you know, non-cynical take, I can see why they would want to do this. Cynical take, this is stupid. So there you go.
Oh, gosh. I was very cynical.
All right, what else we got going on?
Some interesting news. Super Mario Brothers is now the biggest movie of the year. Have you guys seen it yet?
No. I didn't even know there was a Super Mario Brothers movie out. I am
it's
lame.
Huge. Chris Pratt is Mario. So this has been highly controversial because they cast Chris Pratt.
We talked about
as Mario. Yeah,
at my table, my dinner. My kids talked about it. Yes, we talked about it. Okay, carry on. I do know. This was a dinner conversation the other night.
So we thought when we heard about this, like, oh man, this is gonna be problematic. This is gonna be poorly done. Da, da, da. And then lo and behold, it makes $600 million its opening week. And then it's like on its way to a billion right now. And it's the biggest movie of the year. Global phenomenon. I took Cohen on Sunday afternoon, had to check 5 different movie theaters to find a seat.
Wow.
Like it was so packed. This is 2 weeks in. It's crazy. I mean, and at the end of the movie, like packed theater Sunday afternoon, and the theater erupts in applause when the credits rolled. I was like, what is going on?
Really?
The Mario Brothers is a huge hit. Yeah. Yeah. So.
Yeah. It's having a moment. And what's interesting is around the same time, the Library of Congress has decided that the Super Mario Brothers theme song is also super important, and they have officially inducted it into the National Recording Registry. And so it's the first video game theme song to be inducted. So this means that, you know, for the rest of history, it will be preserved forever so that future generations, they'll know that the Super Mario Brothers theme song was super important.
Crazy.
Wow. And people in our age, like you hear that song and you're just like taken back to like summer break. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is just, that was what we did.
Mm-hmm. And it's apparently an important work of art and having a moment. So
yeah, I can't believe it's going to pass $1 billion. Like that is wild to me. Like that's so much
money.
That
is crazy.
One thing that was interesting to me was that Chris Pratt actually did a good job, like the voice wise. They did a good job explaining why he didn't have an over the top Italian accent and stuff. So it's like, okay, all right, we're okay with Chris Pratt now. All right. So just everybody calm down about the bad casting. He did a good job. So
I don't know why people were all been out of shape in the first place. Like,
because
of
cultural appropriation stuff, man. They're like, why don't you cast a real Italian to play the Italian? That's why. Same reason why they're upset about the Moana or whatever, the Lilo and Stitch.
Lilo and Stitch.
I feel, but the thing is though, like if you know the Mario origin story, you know, Mario as an institution is cultural appropriation. It's not like Italians made it. The reason Mario has a mustache, it's true. Yeah. The reason Mario and Luigi have mustaches, the reason they're Italian in the first place is because pixel animation at the time of its release was not up to the place where they could do detailed faces, right? So in order to get around it, if you look at the early renderings of Mario with pixels, they put in mustaches so you could distinguish the nose from the mouth. It was the only way to do it with the pixels available. Oh. And so then they just reverse engineer it. They're like, well, why do they have these mustaches? They're like, well, maybe they're Italian. But the reality is they had nothing to
do. But why do mustaches make you Italian?
I think they were just trying to figure out a way to make the animation work.
Okay.
And so, but it was Japanese animators. It wasn't like, we're not talking about like some famous like winery in Italy that was swooped in and appropriated for international profit. We're talking about Japanese, you know, pixel animators in the 1980s that slapped a mustache on two of the characters they're created and called them Italian because they couldn't draw better. Like, that's the reality. Anyway, but as I was, I'm going to stop ranting about that. But the thing about the Chris Pratt thing was like, one, Cameron, I'm with you. I think you did a good job. But I also think some of these animated movies, they could just hire like random voice actors, you know?
And yeah,
if I wasn't told that Mario and Luigi were Chris Pratt and Charlie Day, two actors who I've consumed a tremendous amount of their content, I don't even know. I was in the theater and didn't know it was Charlie Day and Chris Pratt. Seth Rogen
was great. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he laughed as Donkey Kong. But Jack Black was Bowser, and I could not place that voice. Like, he didn't sound anything like Jack Black.
Though he did great. The Peaches song.
Yeah.
It was a great.
I've heard that might be nominated for like a Grammy or an Oscar or something.
No
the song
way.
Peaches. Yeah.
As it should be.
Best original song at the Oscars or something.
I mean, like when we were leaving, like Cohen's like, yeah, it was okay. I think he's a little too old for it, you know. But he's like, but I really like that song that Bowser sang, you know. I'm like, he's like, Jack Black did a great job, and I'm like, that's my son's review of the Mario movie, is that he really liked the song. So yeah, she
I
won
haven't
some awards.
Seen the movie, and I don't know if you can do this without spoiling. But under what context does Bowser need to sing a song about Peaches?
He's in love with Peaches and he's professing his love for her and he's trying to get her to marry him. So he's at the piano singing a love song about Princess Peach. Yeah.
He thought it was like Georgia Peaches.
Yeah. I really thought it was the fruit. And
yeah,
I was
it was
like,
him and Justin Bieber talking about I get my peaches from Georgia. Bowser was like, I get my weed from California. It was a great song.
If Justin Bieber made a cameo in the Super Mario Brothers movie, that would be... I don't know.
Well, like, he could have. That's the thing.
Jesse, you do have a good point though. Cause like when I go see like the times that I've seen an animated movie, it's never been, oh, I can't wait to hear so-and-so's voice. It's like, no, I'm interested in like the general story or something. Like there's never been a movie that it's like, I didn't want to see it. But then I found out Chris Pratt was doing the voice. So now I have to see it. It's like, it's just interesting.
And the reason isn't because they're like, man, you know, Charlie Day. I do think he has a funny voice, but like they're not like, man, he will do better than a seasoned voiceover actor who does like video games or audiobooks or things. They do it because when the movie comes out, there's a publicity cycle and they go on late shows and they post on Instagram and they post, you know, Chris Pratt will post on his IG stories of him getting ready for a premiere to drum up buzz. I'm saying it's not an ineffective strategy. I'm just saying, like, as a viewer, you're not even really aware who these voices are. And honestly, there's not even that much dialogue in the movie. It's the dialogue sets up chase scene. Like there's the side scroll scene. There's a Mario Kart scene. There's a Super Smash Brothers scene. All the dialogue does is to serve up the next action scene, you know? So you could have just gotten randos.
Did you fall asleep at all during it? I did.
Did you? No. Well, it was barely 90 minutes.
I know. I got a tight 15 minute nap in there. It was a tight 15. It was great.
By the time my chicken tenders, I only go to cinema cafes now. That's just my thing. I'm not going back to regular theaters after you've tasted the fruit of how those recliners and hot food. But by the time my chicken fingers came and I reclined for a minute, they're storming Bowser's castle. Like, it's almost over.
Yep. All right. What else you got?
The last thing that I want to share is The National. They have an album coming out next week called The Pages of Frankenstein, which we're really excited about.
So if you're over 35, this is very exciting news, listeners. If you're over 35.
I'm under 35 and I'm excited. I like The National.
National's amazing. They were on our cover years ago.
Yeah.
We love The National.
Yeah. Sorry, I got the album name wrong. The album is called First Two Pages of Frankenstein. very specific. But they released a new single this past week, and we have a clip of it. It's called Your Mind Is Not Your Friend, which also features Phoebe Bridgers. That is nothing.
I fell asleep in that.
I was going to say, did you fall asleep in that? If you didn't, in the Mario movie, I've seen the National, Jesse, you have too, seen them in concert several times. And the thing that is so mesmerizing about him as he performs is that he starts out the concert with a full liquor bottle and he ends the concert with an empty liquor bottle.
Wow.
And you can see how his performance adjusts throughout the evening. Like he'll end up in the crowd at one point. No, like he just gets like crazier and looser. Like he literally will just go into the crowd and sing walking around, and he's not like crowd surfing or doing anything crazy. He just gets off the stage and wanders around, and like all of a sudden the dude from the National is like singing a foot from your face, you know, and like, but he is just out of his mind blitzed at that point, you know, and he just wanders back. But yeah, no, it's a fun show. I just,
yeah, now I gotta go see the National.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the couple songs that, you know, Matt, the frontman did with Taylor Swift are bangers a couple years ago on what was that album called?
The song's called Renegade. But wasn't it with Bon Iver, too?
Yeah. Bon Iver and
was it Aaron Dessner?
Or was it
Matt?
Yeah. Aaron Dessner.
Yeah. Which Aaron Dessner and Taylor Swift just played a song together at Taylor's concert. It's beautiful.
I was wondering how we were going to get from the National to you talking about Taylor Swift.
You knew it
but
was
you
coming
did it only
up.
In you did it in two steps. I was pretty
there
impressive.
Was a straight line, man.
I could have done it in one, but I wanted to kind of ease us into it.
So that's why you brought the National clip, so you could reference a little bit of Taylor Swift on the podcast.
Swift, actually.
Yeah, got it. All right. Well, there's a lot more where that came from. Check out relevantmagazine.com every day, where we're covering the intersection of faith, life, and culture. There's a lot more. Follow us on the socials, too. Okay, that'll do it for Relevant Buzz. Stay tuned. Up next, we talk to Josh Holiday from Elevation Rhythm. Listening to Mia Follick, the song is So Clear. Well, today's show is brought to you in part by Crown College, a boldly Christian and academically excellent college providing a lifelong, authentic community. Crown offers on-campus, online, and graduate programs, 18 NCAA Division III sports, international service opportunities, and a vibrant student life. Discover why Crown College is ranked top 3 in America for online Christian education. Visit crown.edu today. Well, our guest today is Josh Holiday. He's part of Elevation Rhythm, the next-gen worship collective from Elevation Church. They recently released their second album. It's called This Is the Gospel. So Josh sat down with Emily to tell us about the inspiration behind the album and how rhythm is encouraging the younger generation to focus on God's truth. Here's our conversation with Josh Holiday. This is the gospel.
I'm really excited to talk with you about Elevation Rhythm's new project, This Is the Gospel. I think a good place to start would be, what was the heart or inspiration behind this project?
Our last album, Growing Pains, was our first album, obviously. And we kind of like touched on a lot of different subjects, but we really wanted to, with that album, kind of we kind of talked a lot about emotions and applied truth to those emotions that we knew that our youth were feeling at our church. And then this album, we kind of wanted to switch it and start with the truth, and really make a truth focused project. And just for us as a team and as a ministry, we're new, and I felt like we needed to have a project that really proclaimed the truths that we believe. We're not ashamed of the gospel. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in salvation. Like, we believe in all these things, and I wanted that to be known publicly, said out loud, so people know that's who we are first and foremost. Before we do another song, I wanted people to know that, like, this is the God that we believe in. This is Christ is the center of everything that we do, and this is the good news, and this is the gospel. And so that was the whole purpose of the album. And it's cool because our youth are in the same space. Like, they just want to know truth, foundational truths. Like, they're building their faith right now, and so it's good for them to build their faith on truth and have a strong foundation of that. And everyone kind of says, you know, like, oh, we're the voice of the next generation, and it was like, it's important that you really give them foundational and practical things as well, not just kind of like give them the vibes. Because these are the things they're building right now. And so we know our youth are also building, and we want to make sure that what they're building on is the gospel.
Big question, but what is a message that the next generation really needs to hear?
I think that they need to hear that they're loved. I think that there's an identity crisis that happens with this now generation of instant. Now, like, fame looks different than it looked 10 years ago. Before, fame was, it's almost like a little bit unachievable. It's like, oh, to be famous, you gotta be on a TV, and who knows how. I didn't even know how to get on TV when I was a kid.
Right.
Like, and so now, like, the TV has become the phone, and the phone, like, getting on the phone is just as simple as uploading something, and people are like instantly responding to whatever you're like. You, they're responding to you. They're responding to your day, whether it's positive or negative. I think that there's just so much, so many other things that are really shaping their identity. And I think there's a need for people to know how Christ sees them. Like, the next generation is to know how Jesus sees them, because it's going to be hard sometimes. Like, it's going to be confusing when you're growing up with, like, oh, like, I don't know. And I feel like that's every generation. We talk about, oh, identity and, like, knowing that, but it's and it's true. And in 10 years from now, it's probably going to be the same thing. But I feel like maybe that's the struggle that you go through as you're going from 15 to 21. And we just need to be just as loud with the truth as the world is loud with all the lies.
I put my trust in the Lord. I won't let fear keep me on the shore.
Well, I know the project just came out last week, but I am always curious, like, what is next for Elevation Rhythm? Do y'all have any plans?
Oh, yes. We're not stopping. We're working on, like, three different projects right now.
Y'all are really busy.
The thing about our church is, like, our pastor in, like, Elevation Worship, like, they've set the pace. Like, they set the, it's like to be, like, in the same ecosystem as them. It's just like their energy and, like, how they're always writing, and, like, Sunday mornings, it's just like our church is just like, we love writing songs. And so I'm right there next to them. Like, yeah, we're writing songs too. And, and so we have, like, we're going to do, some songs that we have our yearly big conference, our youth conference called Youth X. And that's literally our favorite time of the year. It's like, it's the craziest thing ever. And so 4,000 kids that, like, come together, and we just have to, like, church for 3 days. And so we're probably going to record some songs there. We're also working on another project that's going to be a little bit more, a little bit more chill. I think we're still discovering who Rhythm is. Like, to answer, like, what is Rhythm, who's Rhythm, every time we do a project, that's another answer. It's like, yeah, we're also this. Oh, we're also that. Oh, we're also this. And so the reason why we're like continue to write and continue to put out songs is because we're just kind of, it's like God's just unraveling something within Rhythm. And so we don't want to put ourselves in a box before God has put us in a box. And so we're not trying to rush putting ourselves in a box. And so we might do like a more singer-songwritery, like almost like a Phoebe Bridgers, Lizzie McCap, like that kind of style.
Okay.
We have like some songs like that, which is kind of left field from This Is the Gospel.
Yeah, a bit different for sure.
But yeah, but like a root, something like that. And then we have our youth X, like our conference, that's more like high energy, crazy youth conference music. So stuff like that, we're still just kind of learning who Rhythm is as we go.
That was Josh Holiday from Elevation Rhythm. Make sure to check out their new album. It's called This Is the Gospel. Stay tuned up next. It's your feedback.
About me, I'm on my own planet. Round and round I go, take it all for granted. Hard to see when you live inside your own head. Stuck in the cycle, pushing out or so I might as well
give someone else a try.
You're listening to Ray Lynn and Judah. The song is Somebody Else.
Well, Relevant has a lot happening this year, and we don't want you to miss a thing. Make sure to sign up for our newsletter right there on the front page at relevantmagazine.com, and we'll send you our top five trending stories into your inbox every weekday. We'll also send you a weekly podcast newsletter with the latest episodes, some fan extras, and first peeks at the new shows that we're going to be rolling out throughout this year. Make sure to sign up. It's the best way to keep in touch with everything we got going on.
Well, last week we were talking about how The Little Mermaid, the live remake, they announced that they are going to be updating the lyrics on a couple of the songs because they were a little bit rapey. And we got us thinking about just a little. It was fringe rapey. It was,
that word feels so terrible. Rapey.
Nah, it's terrible. That's what I'm saying.
It's cringe.
Yeah. They're going to be updating it to emphasize consent. Let's just say that.
Yes.
So it got us thinking about old entertainment, old stuff that probably through the eyes of 2023 maybe is a little bit more problematic than we realized at the time. So we asked you, what are some other things, or like Mindy Kaling said that The Office couldn't be made today and some different things like that. So what are some other movie shows, songs that haven't aged so well over the years? You guys hit us up on Twitter at Relevant Podcast, and here's a few of our favorite replies.
Well, Adam Davis says Saved by the Bell. And
why?
I haven't watched Saved by the Bell in a while, but you know, the points he brings up, you know, I think are fair. He says that one, there's nerd shaming.
I like that. That's the first one he has a problem
I
with.
I mean,
the entire, there's a character based on just being a nerd.
True.
That is just a sponge for humiliation. I mean, he is shamed repeatedly. It's not clear why they even hang out with him. Like, you know, why Screech is even part of this group of very attractive high schoolers who appear to be in their 20s at the time. Why are they letting him come around? But they also said there's body shaming, bully glorifying, and he says that Zach Morris was a total sociopath. And this is where, you know, I do feel like at the very least was a narcissist, Zach Morris, you know? Mm-hmm. But he also notes this, where you can tell Adam has thought about this a lot. He's lost a lot of night's sleep thinking about old episodes. Because he says, also, when Zach did graduate, the names weren't announced in alphabetical order, so he could be the last one. What kind of school district was Bayside in? Fair point. You know, I've never thought about it in that much detail. But
maybe they were going alphabetical with the first name.
Oh, Zach.
I mean, it's, yeah, but you know,
we have to go back and look first. At the rest of the
Andy
list.
Andy was second.
We have was to first. Watch Andy the episode to determine, you know, Emily, to your point, where were the others announced in relation to Zach? You know,
I think they were announced in relation. Oh my gosh,
in relation to the relationship with Mr. Belding. I think that's how they were announced. Yeah. You know?
Well, the other thing too, a lot of people neglect to remember is, Jamie, you said would you say that you're a Saved by the Bell aficionado?
I don't know that I'd go that far, but I do remember as a child watching it a lot.
Okay. Do you remember in the early seasons, particularly when it was like Good Morning, Miss Bliss, before it was Saved by the Bell?
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And Zach Morris had the power to pause time.
Yes. Yes.
Do you remember that?
It only lasted for like 3 or 4 episodes, it feels like. And then they were like, this is weird. Because, no. Listen, it was in the 80s, Emily. Like Saturday morning, like kids sitcoms. There was one where like this little girl in this family, she actually was an alien and she would talk to her home planet on this little glowing cube and she could pause time, right? She could pause time. And like you had Alf and you had other things where like this like sitcom with sci-fi elements. And so this started in like 88, 89 on that, you know, coming out of that era of sitcom. And so they wanted Zach to have the ability to pause everything and talk to the camera. Like he would talk to the audience. Like everybody would pause and he'd be like, all right, well, I can't believe my teacher just did that. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then they would resume, you know, whatever, but he could pause time. And then they're realizing this is really stupid. And they just, it went away. Like they never acknowledged that it went away. Right. I mean, they're just like, he just stopped pausing time about episode 5.
The time stopping, the thing that was cool about it to me wasn't even the time stopping. It's that you felt for a split moment that Zach was talking just to you. I mean, he was like looking into, he did. And I was like, oh, okay. Yes. I see what I see what's bothering you, Zach.
That's your friend. You know what he's going through.
Yes.
But there were so many other plot devices we could have had that wouldn't have broken. Like we could have just like, had like a voiceover as he's writing in his journal, or if there's other means to deliver exposition other than I'm going to snap my fingers. What was that TikTok challenge everyone did a while ago where everyone would like pause and kind of
mannequin challenge? Yeah.
Yeah. Then have the entire set do a mannequin challenge. So Zach can look at the camera, explain to you the plot of the episode in case you missed it.
Yep.
You know, like, all right, well now I got to go to detention after school, which means I'm going to miss the big game. Snap, and it's like, we got it. We just saw the first 10 minutes. Okay. The first act was well established. We know the conflict. I know this is for children, but you don't need to spell it out like that, especially if the means of spelling it out is some sort of sci-fi superpower twist.
My gosh.
It's true. And why did they stop? Like, when did they stop? And that's my thing. It's like he had this superpower and they never acknowledged it after the first 10 episodes.
The
thing is,
did he maintain the superpower? Right, could he do it to the end? Was he doing it just off camera? You
know? Was he doing it to get away with stuff? I'm going to pause time and sneak out of the house and like whatever. And we just don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. Did he pause time, take the graduation list, and scratch his name out and write it as the last one? We don't know. Maybe it would plug a lot of holes if you know, and the filmmakers were like, oh, yeah, he totally had that power the whole time. We just felt like the show was more interesting if we kept that off camera. Oh, but we presume the audience knew he was pausing time at will, you know?
Yeah. Well, there you go. Saved by the Bell. All right. Are there any others? Let's see.
So there's actually one that I wanted to mention. It wasn't from feedback, but I've been watching this TikTok series because this guy has been rewatching Seventh Heaven and he's been recapping all of the like insane storylines in Seventh Heaven, which I remember watching it when I was younger, but I was a little bit past my time. So it was kind of out of it. But there were some very unhinged storylines on Seventh Heaven.
I want to hear some examples.
So, okay. I never watched it because it was just like generic, safe for the family, like Hallmark movie level television that like all the Christian families could gather around because it was a pastor family. And so like it was like the one sitcom show drama that like Christians were saying, hey, they represent our values. Yeah. So, but I never watched it because of that.
So there was one, so he basically does like a video per episode. So there was one where the pastor's sister came in town. Turns out she has an alcohol problem. And so to address it,
wait, they lock her in a room.
Yeah, she's an alcoholic. So, and like, she's like trying to get the kids to like sneak her alcohol and stuff. And so he helps her by locking her in a room for days. And she like begs the kids to let her out. And they're like, no, we're helping you.
I'm going through withdrawal.
Like, this is so sad.
And then finally, like, she comes to the Lord and is like, you're right. I don't need alcohol. I need Jesus. And like, which it just like the way that it's like, you have to see, like, she like, throughout the episode, she just looks more and more like disheveled because she's not allowed to like leave this room because she's being kept prisoner. It's just like, you know, a whole thing.
This is a great evangelism strategy for the metaverse mission trip. Like, trap players into a level where they can't get out. And you're like, I will let you out once you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You know, like, I like this idea of confining people. That's good.
What could possibly go wrong?
What could go wrong? That's what I'm saying.
Well, watch Seventh Heaven and you'll see.
What else? Like, do another one. I want another one.
There's one where like the dynamic between the siblings is really weird. Like, one of the daughters, she like goes to the brother to ask for advice on like intimacy and like kissing and stuff like that, which is just an odd conversation to have with your brother. It's you just need to watch it. Like, it's so hard to.
And then he was like, here, I can't really describe it. Let me show you. Let me just show you.
Yeah. Like, it kind of gets to that level almost. Where
No, it doesn't really do that, does it?
I'm joking.
But it like borderline gets you, like, you watching it and you're like, are they like, this is getting into weird territory. It's very unhinged. And again, like, I remember it for like, oh, it had the Christian values and stuff. And I'm like, are these the Christian values we're talking about?
The 90s was a weird television era, but.
Yeah. I did look it up. It is the longest running series on the WB.
Seventh Heaven.
11 seasons.
You know what? I'm shocked to hear that the WB existed for 11 seasons. So, you know.
No, I don't think that it merged to somebody else and came the CW. So you're right.
That's right. The WB had that frog. Remember, it had that frog as the logo, like it's like burr, 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 and like the top hat frog.
I was never able to distinguish the difference between the WB and CW, to be honest. It seemed like a lot of teen dramas and then a lot of superhero shows. And then I think the superhero shows became teen dramas. Mm-hmm. Like Smallville just became like a teen drama set, in the world of Superman, you know, it was just a simpler time. I think for TV, you just accepted. Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, there's more of the feedback where that came from. You can go check out our replies at Relevant Podcast. Other people mentioned Animaniacs, 30 Rock, which I don't think 30 Rock fits in this category. I think 30 Rock was fully aware of what they were doing at the time. But anyway, okay, so it's time for this week's
editorial question of the week.
Okay, well, at the beginning of the show, we were talking about my Bucky's mug, my hot pink little tiny Bucky's coffee mug. And it got, you know, we were telling Jesse about the wonderful world of Bucky's. It got us talking about road trips, thinking about road trips. It's spring. It's getting into summer. You know, like, I road trip last summer. Let's road trip again this summer. Let's do road trips. So we want to know your craziest road trip story. Maybe it's your favorite weird rest stop that you found, roadside attraction that you stumbled onto, biggest ball of yarn, the Precious Moments Museum in Missouri. Like, something that you've done on a road trip that is just bizarre and funny. Tell us your story. Hit us up at Relevant Podcast on Twitter, and we will read our favorites on next week's show. To me, if there's a roadside attraction, we're stopping.
You're stopping.
I mean, you got to.
It's literally why it's there.
Are you talking about like the big ball of yarn on the side of the road?
Like, yeah, the big ball of yarn. Or like, if you're on the East Coast, when you go on the South Carolina, North Carolina border, there's a big south of the border. We talked about it after I got back from that road trip. Uh-huh. I took Cohen to south of the border. It is the most problematic place in the history of problematic places. It is a time warp. Like, it should not exist.
Even the billboards are just advertisements for like stereotypes of, you know what I mean? Like,
it's bad. How it exists is beyond me, especially in 2023. Yeah. But when we were there, nobody was there. So maybe it won't exist very much longer. Anyway, hit us up with your craziest, weirdest roadside road trip experiences. And I like this. This will be fun. Well, before we wrap things up, I want to thank Josh Holiday for joining us today. Make sure to check out Elevation Rhythm's new album. It's called This Is the Gospel. It's available wherever you get your music. Make sure to check out the spring issue of Relevant. We have a cover story with Michael B. Jordan talking about the very personal direction he took Creed 3. We talked to Colony House, Beth Moore, the team behind Jesus Revolution, and a lot more. You can view it for free and read all the articles right there by clicking the magazine tab right there at relevantmagazine.com. If you want to get the beautifully designed enhanced edition, subscribe to Relevant Plus. We do this enhanced magazine. We also give you an ad-free reading experience at relevantmagazine.com, ad-free podcasts, exclusive subscriber podcasts, and a lot more. You can find out all the information right there at the site, and plans start at just $2.50 a month. It's the best way to experience our content. Okay, on that note, we'll wrap things up. I'm Cameron Strang.
I'm Jesse Carey.
I'm Jamie Ivey.
I'm Emily Brown.
We will see you on Tuesday. Have a great weekend, everyone.
For listening to the Relevant Podcast. Check out our features, interviews, and news updates every day at relevantmagazine.com. And make sure to follow Relevant on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for the latest. For more great podcasts, browse the shows on the Relevant Podcast Network, which you can find at our site. And while you're there, don't miss the all-new era of Relevant Magazine. A new issue releases every other month at relevantmagazine.com.
You're presuming that we all just know what Buc-ee's is.
Relevant Podcast Network.